Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I knew that we would need to start working immediately on restoring and rebuilding that relationship of trust between our office and the communities.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. If you listened to the show last week, I had teased that this week's guest was going to be a good one. And I am so happy to announce that this week my guest is St. Louis Circuit Attorney Gabe Gore. Now, Gabe stepped into this role in 2023, and he has done a fantastic job turning this office around. And in this interview, you get to see what his mindset is like. Gabe is someone who is not afraid of a challenge. He's someone who realizes perfection isn't possible, but he still pursues it every single day. And Gabe has an eagerness to serve this city. It was truly my honor to welcome Gabe Gore to the show, and I hope you enjoy our conversation. I'm joined now by Gabe Gore. He is the circuit attorney for the city of St. Louis. Gabe, thank you so much for making time and coming to the KMOX studios. I appreciate it very, very much.
It's great to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
So let's start kind of at the beginning. What was your life like growing up? I saw that you grew up in Detroit. I know it could kind of be compared to St. Louis in maybe many ways. Just tell me a little bit about your early life.
Well, I grew up in Detroit. My dad, like a lot of people from the South, he was in college at Hampton Institute in Virginia, and one summer couldn't find work to get tuition money for college, so he hitchhiked to Detroit and got a job at Chrysler. So that's how we got to Detroit. And I grew up there until I was 14, at which point my dad got a promotion to come be an area manager in production here in St. Louis at the Chrysler plant in Fenton, which was just being reopened after being closed for a number of years. That was 1983. And he took the promotion and we moved here to St. Louis. And as you know, that Chrysler plant is now closed and has been demolished.
How old were you in 1983 when you guys made that move?
We made the move when I was 14 years old. Mm. I was a freshman in high school, so I always joke with people. I go, I can pass for being St. Louis born and raised because people never go back any further to high school. So people ask me, you know, where did you go to high school? And I say Parkway South. And so everyone assumes that I'm a native St. Louisan.
Okay, so my next question is, why were you interested in becoming an attorney? Kind of, how did that start? Where did that start to blossom?
I tell people I really decided that I wanted to be an attorney in seventh grade, and that's when I was in Detroit. And in Michigan public school, seventh grade is the year that everybody does a civics class and you learn about government and how it works and you learn about the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And that was a subject matter that really from the moment I started to learn about it, it was just fascinating to me and very interesting. It was just very, I found it just fascinating what an impact that the courts had on our country throughout its history and how important the courts had been in the civil rights movement. And from that point on, I really was kind of on that track. It was the academic subject matter that I always found most fascinating and interesting.
That's amazing to kind of land at that at 12 or 13 years old and stick with it that whole time. Did you also, you know, you mentioned the courts were so influential in like the civil rights movement. To me, the courts are so interesting because it's almost like putting together a puzzle sometimes. Like the law is so interesting, the way it can be interpreted, the way it can be applied.
Yes, yes. I mean, that was what kind of drew me to it. And just, you know, I remember, you know, learning about Marbury versus Madison, where it was decided that the judicial branch, you know, has the final say on issues relating to the Constitution in all of the civil rights cases, Brown versus Board, you know, which we learned is the reason we were sitting in integrated classrooms as we were studying civics was because of the impact of Brown versus Board of Education. So, and then criminal law was also always very interesting to me. So the uniqueness of the American system of criminal justice, where we have an adversarial system, where defendants have rights, where defendants have a right to remain silent and that won't be used against them. They have a right to counsel, all of those things. And just learning about how they came about and how that became the established law here in the United States was just something that always interested and fascinated me.
So I'm talking with Gabe Gore, the circuit attorney in the city of St. Louis. Gabe, let's talk about your career before your current position. I know you worked in a U.S. attorney's office. You worked for John C. Danforth. Just tell me a little bit about the time prior to what you're doing now.
Yeah, so I always tell people that throughout my career, you know, really what has guided me is a desire to be challenged in the work that I do, mm-hmm. and a desire to do work that has an impact on our community. So with those things kind of guiding me, you know, when I left law school, I initially clerked for a judge, John R. Gibson, who was a great man, a great judge, and really couldn't ask for a better first job out of law school. And from there, I was really fortunate to be hired into the U.S. Attorney's Office by then U.S. Attorney Ed Dowd, who would later become my law partner. He hired me into the U.S. Attorney's Office straight out of a clerkship, which was somewhat unusual, so it was a great opportunity. And that was, you know, an opportunity for me to get in court right away and start trying cases when a lot of young lawyers were just doing, you know, research and writing and more administrative work. So that was a great experience. From there, I went to the Waco investigation, which was really interesting. My role on that investigation was to lead the investigation into what caused the fire. There was different theories out there as to who actually caused the fire that burned down the Branch Davidian complex, that it was the FBI rather than the Davidians inside. And I kind of led an exhaustive investigation into that issue. And we ultimately concluded that it was, in fact, the Davidians who started the fire inside of the Branch Davidian complex. So that was a really interesting, fascinating experience. The office was led by Jack Danforth, former Senator Jack Danforth, and the deputy special counsel was Ed Dowd.
We'll be right back with more from St. Louis Circuit Attorney Gabe Gore when we return on The Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome back to the Rachel Zimmerman Show. I'm speaking with St. Louis Circuit Attorney Gabe Gore.
So you just mentioned, you know, you always look for a challenge as far as what your work's going to be like. That's kind of the perfect segue into the circuit attorney's office. I'd assume that was a huge challenge walking into that position, considering where it was left. But before you did that, what was your perception of the CA's office while it was under Kim Gardner?
Tell people this, that, you know, it was kind of a unique situation for me because, you know, really just a matter of weeks before I was appointed circuit attorney, I was a citizen of the city of St. Louis, looking at it from the outside, looking in, and with no thought that I would be called on to potentially serve as circuit attorney. And so I have a very real understanding of that perspective. And I can remember just reading an article about how things were going in the circuit attorney's office and about how cases weren't being effectively prosecuted. And I can remember sitting and thinking to myself, am I living in a city where the rule of law has collapsed? If you have no ability to hold people accountable for violating the criminal laws, that to me is the definition of the collapse of the rule of law. So I found myself sitting there thinking that, and I found myself thinking, am I going to have to move out of the city of St. Louis because I don't think I'm prepared to have me and my family live in a city where the rule of law has collapsed. So that was my view from the outside looking in, those were thoughts I was having with absolutely no understanding that I might have the opportunity to serve as circuit attorney.
Yeah, what ultimately did inspire you to want to take this role on?
When the opportunity arose, when Kim Gardner announced that she was going to resign and people begin to understand that the governor was going to make an appointment, I was approached by a number of people who said, we would like you to consider this. We think you should apply. We think that you could be effective in that role. It was something that I found interesting. The opportunity to lead a prosecutor's office is something that I've always have been interested in doing. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, it came down to a decision of, it was an opportunity to really step up and serve the community and have an impact for the St. Louis community. And the big question was, well, why wouldn't I do it? Mm-hmm. And truly, the only thing I could land on as to why I wouldn't do it would be a fear of failure, because a lot of people were telling me, things are in such bad shape there that it's a situation where you're going to be unable to succeed. And ultimately, I just decided, well, I've never, ever, not done something because I feared that I would fail and that wasn't an acceptable reason not to do it. So I put my application in and I was fortunate to have Governor Parson appoint me.
Yeah, there you go, looking for that challenge again. I know restoring public confidence in the circuit attorney's office is a top priority of yours. How did you begin on that path of restoring public confidence, and how do you think we're doing now, just speaking to people in the community?
Yeah, so that was a big focus. I knew it was going to be incredibly important because I had an understanding of how the trust in that office had really collapsed. And, I got appointed and, drinking out of a water hose is probably not even an accurate description of what we were going through in terms of those first few weeks of transition. Mm-hmm. It was really, we were trying to figure everything out. Even with all that going on, I knew that we would need to start working immediately on restoring and rebuilding that relationship of trust between our office and the community. So probably 2 or 3 weeks into my tenure, I reached out to a good friend of mine, Keith Williamson, and asked him would he come on and serve as interim director of community engagement and start doing the work to help us restore that relationship with the community. And I asked him at the same time to also lead a search committee to identify a permanent director of community engagement, because I knew that that work was going to be so essential to our office being successful. Mm-hmm. So we started that work right away. And even in the midst of all of the chaos of the transition, I started right away meeting with community leaders and talking about my vision for the office and listening to them about what their vision of the office was and how we could best serve the community. So those were important conversations we started having very early in my tenure.
Was there a through line when you would speak to community leaders, or what, did there seem to be like a hunger for more structure, more just going at it in a different way than it had been approached in the past?
I would say the two things I heard the most from the community is, I mean, first and foremost, people just saying those who violate our criminal laws, those who commit acts of violence, those who violate property laws, in order for us to be a functioning, viable community, people have to be held accountable. And we know your office is ultimately responsible for doing that. And so there was a real hunger just for restoration of the rule of law, restoration of an effective prosecuting attorney's office. So I heard that was probably the biggest message I heard. And I also heard really a desire for increased transparency into the work of our office. People felt like they didn't know what was going on in the office. Lots of community leaders didn't feel like the office was being transparent in its work. And so those were the two things I heard loud and clear and really started to focus on. And in my vision for the community engagement is, you know, I always tell people the story of one day I was in Starbucks and there was a woman in line in front of me, and she got charged like the wrong amount for what she was getting. And I made a joke with her. I was like, well, I guess that's just, you know, inflation. And she turns around and looks at me and she goes, oh, my God. Oh, my God. She's so excited. She's like, this is my circuit attorney. It's my circuit attorney. And I when she was saying that, I was so excited about it, saying it's my circuit attorney. I thought to myself, you know, I really want the entire community to feel that way, to feel like this is my circuit attorney's office. They're here to work on my behalf. They're here to seek to achieve justice and improve public safety for my benefit. And they're doing that hand in hand with us. So that's what I think about when I think about community engagement. The other funny part of that story is after she left and I was next up in line, the young woman who was at the counter goes, she goes, I'm sorry, I have no idea who you are. I said, oh, I'm the circuit attorney, a prosecutor, you know, for the city. And she wasn't nearly as impressed as the woman who was in front of me.
I'm talking with Gabe Gore. He is the St. Louis circuit attorney. Let's talk about maintaining a reputation of excellence in your office. I know this is another thing that's important to you, but what does that mean to you when you say maintaining a reputation of excellence?
You know, when I talk about with the attorneys and staff in my office all the time is let's seek to achieve excellence in everything we do every day. And that was a lesson that I was taught very early in my legal career by a law partner who I was doing a project for that I didn't consider that important. And when I turned it into him, he gave it back to me all marked up. And I said, oh, you know, I didn't really put my best foot forward on that because it was just, you know, this minor thing. And he looks at me and he says, you know, our goal is perfection, is to achieve excellence in everything we do. We know we will never achieve it, but that's how you should approach your work. and that really stuck with me from early in my career, and that's the approach I really want everyone in our office to take, because if you take that approach, you may not achieve perfection, but the results will probably be pretty good.
You know, that seems like kind of a rare mindset these days. Do you agree with that?
I guess I will say I can't speak generally, but in our office, I really do think people have taken that to heart. I've heard it said back to me a lot of times, and I do think that's how we are approaching our work. I mean, I tell people, you know, you're going down to do a status hearing or bond hearing, which are pretty routine things in our work. I'm like, really, you have the mindset of, I'm going to be perfect on this minor task. And, you know, that same mindset is what you take into when you're trying, you know, a high-profile, difficult trial. At each step of it, you want to try to be as good as you can on each aspect of what you do. So I do believe that message is getting through in our office. The population more generally, I don't know if everybody takes that approach to their work. But
more with St. Louis Circuit Attorney Gabe Gore when we return on The Rachel Zimmerman Show.
About meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
We're back on KMOX. This episode of the show is already available for podcast, so find it by searching for The Rachel Zimmerman Show anywhere you get your podcasts. I'm speaking with Gabe Gore. He's the circuit attorney of the city of St. Louis. You mentioned earlier in the interview that one of the things that really drew you to wanting to be an attorney was just criminal law in the United States. Let's talk about the criminals you're prosecuting. When a new case comes in, like, how do you approach it? Is there a lot of time being spent on this person's background, or is there a balance there? Like, how does your office typically handle that?
So cases come into our office through the warrant office. The St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department makes an application for warrant that comes into our office. We look at it and decide whether or not we have enough evidence to move forward with charges and get a conviction. And if we do feel that way, we issue it. Now, at the time we issue it, cases are screened to determine whether or not someone who we're charging would be an appropriate a candidate for our diversion program, which is a program for low-level, first-time, nonviolent offenders, where we let them enter into a diversion program and give them an opportunity to not pick up a felony conviction, but rather work with us, have us connect them with resources, get counseling, get the resources and help they need to hopefully get their lives on track and not become habitual participants in the criminal justice system. So that occurs at that point. Cases that move forward in prosecution, the evaluation of those cases occur, you know, for the less serious cases, they occur within our general felonies unit between the supervisors and the attorneys in the general felonies unit. They look at the defendant's criminal history, background, the charges, and try to come up with a recommendation for a plea that makes sense. And of course, when there's not agreement on that between our office and the defense counsel, then we end up in trial. On more serious cases, your A and B felonies, your robberies, murders, rapes, all of those more serious cases are presented to our REC committee, recommendation committee, which is a committee that has long existed in the circuit attorney's office. And in my administration, that REC committee is really a place where we take a look at each individual case, look at the criminal history, look at the conduct charged, and really try to come up with a recommendation for a plea agreement that makes sense based on a wide variety of factors. You know, right away, people commented to me, they were like, you know, people who had been in prior administrations, they were like, you know, REC committee didn't usually take this long, and there wasn't usually this much discussion and debate. And I said to them, I said, okay, well, I don't know whether you consider that a positive or a negative, but to me, I consider it a positive that we're spending a lot of time thinking about these cases and thinking about how they fit into our overall view of law enforcement and improving public safety. And I love that it's a more collaborative process than it's maybe been in the past. So that's what we do on the more serious cases. We really do put a lot of work into trying to be smart and effective in how we approach those cases.
You're trying to be perfect. You're trying to be excellent.
Trying.
Yes. Let's talk about your current staff. You have described it in other interviews as lean. Where do you want to be numbers-wise in the circuit attorney office?
So, We have made a lot of progress in that area. Today, we have 46 assistant circuit attorneys. We have two new attorneys coming out of clerkships. They were clerking on the Missouri Court of Appeals. They're going to join us next week. So our numbers will move to 48 when we get those two young attorneys on board. And we have an additional seven attorneys who are just graduated law school in May and are studying for the bar and will take the bar. And I think actually they've already taken the bar and they're awaiting results. And if all of them pass the bar on October 1st, we'll have another seven attorneys join the office. So then we're in the mid-50s range. Our budget that we asked the Board of Aldermen for this past year was a budget of 60 attorneys, which I think would be a leanly staffed office, but a number of attorneys that would permit us to be effective in achieving the level of public safety that we all desire for the St. Louis community. So that's where we are on those numbers.
What can you say about your team on a personal and professional level? Is there a certain trait you're looking for in new recruits?
So, there's a number of things we look at, but probably there's two leading traits that you cannot be effective in our office if you don't have these traits. Is number one, you've got to be mission driven. You've got to be there because you want to serve, because you want to serve the community, because you want to do the work that will lead to a higher level of public safety for the entire community. You've got to be committed to that. And I can 100% say everyone in our office is mission-driven. And when I say that, it's from the paralegals up to me. I mean, everybody is aligned on that mission. The second thing you have to be successful in our office, and you have to really thrive at this, is you've got to be a team player. We don't do anything in our office where it doesn't require a team effort. I mean, to prosecute a case requires coordination between victim services, the attorney prosecuting the case, our investigators investigating the case and helping put it together, the paralegals who are doing the required work to make sure that we're producing discovery and that we're doing what's necessary to be prepared for trial. It's just everything, you know, I don't do anything in my office where it's not collaborative and teamwork with any number of people. So prosecutors' offices, without that teamwork, that like true commitment to achieving a goal through team effort, just don't work.
The final part of my conversation with St. Louis Circuit Attorney Gabe Gore airs next on KMOX, so keep listening to The Rachel Zimmerman Show. Wrap up this week's episode of The Rachel Zimmerman Show now. Make sure you follow the show on Instagram at Rachel Zimmerman Show. I'm talking with Gabe Gore. He's the circuit attorney for the city of St. Louis. A big story in 2025 has been the state takeover of the St. Louis Police Department. How does that work with your office? Has it changed your job much?
You know, it really has no impact on our work. Mm-hmm. I mean, we still work with St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department the exact same way. It's the exact same police officers working with us, bringing us cases, collaborating with us when they bring their cases into the warrant office. So that hasn't changed. You know, the biggest impact for me would be if there was a change in leadership, because, you know, right now, the relationship between the police department and our office is in a really good place. It's a lot stronger than certainly it was under the past administration. And, you know, I think that's important for achieving our objectives of law enforcement and public safety. I think it's important that you have a relationship of trust and collaboration and mutual respect between the police department and our office. Without that, you're going to struggle. And my relationship with Chief Tracy is very good. We work well together. I think his approach to reducing crime is delivering results, and he's being effective. So my big concern is I just want to keep the team that we have in place now in place. And I think that we can continue to make improvement and work towards achieving that level of public safety that the St. Louis community desires and deserves.
I'm speaking with Gabe Gore. He's the circuit attorney for the city of St. Louis. Gabe, I want to thank you again for taking the time to talk to me today. What are your future plans for the circuit attorney's office? When you look a year into the future, is there anything that you're hoping to accomplish that you want to share with us?
So the things we're focused on now, I mean, we're still working towards that operational excellence, right? And we will never get there. We're still working towards achieving that level of public safety that the community deserves. And even though we've made a lot of progress in the last couple of years, we're still a far far ways away from being where we want to be in terms of reducing violent crime and improving public safety. So those are things that, of course, we're going to continue to work towards. How we're going to do that, a big focus is going to continue to be community engagement. We are actually launching two programs this fall. We're launching a Citizens Academy, where we have community leaders come in to our office over a six-week period, spend a couple hours with us a week during those 6 weeks, and really get a full picture and more of a deep dive into the work of our office and increase that understanding of our office. And we're hoping that when they have that deeper view into our office, they'll take that back out as community leaders and share that with other members of the St. Louis community. And the other thing we're launching is the Circuit Attorney's Neighborhood Collaboration Program. And that is a program where we're going to really work with neighborhood associations and have assistant circuit attorneys assigned to specific neighborhood associations and really work, you know, closely with the neighborhood association, assistant circuit attorney, and the police department, and really try to identify what are the issues, what are the crime issues they're seeing in their neighborhood, and talk about ways that we collectively can address that. So those are two big things we're focused on community engagement. And then the other big thing I'm focused on is training. I mean, we've got, you know, it's great that our numbers are growing, but I think when we get everybody on staff, like when the attorneys join us after getting their bar results in October, at that point, by my count, we're going to have 19 attorneys in the office, 19 out of our 55, who are in their first or second year of prosecuting cases. Mm-hmm. Now, they're great young attorneys who are mission-driven, could have gone and worked other places, but chose to come join the circuit attorney's office because they believe in this work, they believe in this city, and they want to serve the community. And that's great. They've got tons of energy. We're excited about them, but they're inexperienced. And so a big focus on training and getting those attorneys ready to handle more serious cases, because the fact of the matter is that they're going to be taking on much more responsibility at a much younger age than has been typical in the circuit attorney's office, because we've been in this rebuilding process. So it's a great opportunity for them. It's exciting. But it's going to require a lot of work and a lot of kind of thoughtful approach to how we get them trained and prepared to really be the future of the office. They are the future of the office. So preparing them to be leaders in the office 5, 10, 15 years from now is a big focus.
Well, Gabe Gore, circuit attorney of the city of St. Louis, I'm a city resident. I just want to thank you for all that you've done. And it's been great having this conversation and getting to know more about your mindset. And thank you so much for rising to this challenge and helping our city.
Thank you. It's been great to be on here. And it's really been, you know, the work has been difficult and unrelenting. But at the same time, the support that we've received from the community, as you were just acknowledging our work and thanking us, when you know that really lifts us up. And we've been hearing that a lot from the community, and I really, really appreciate that support.
All right. If you missed any part of my conversation with St. Louis Circuit Attorney Gabe Gore, this episode is already available to podcast. Just search for The Rachel Zimmerman Show anywhere you get your podcasts. Keep the Odyssey app in mind. It's free. It's easy. We have a huge library of content for you to listen to. And of course, you can find The Rachel Zimmerman Show there, too. Thank you once again to Gabe Gore for visiting with me this week. It was really great getting to pick his brain and just understand his mindset a little bit better. And I think the city of St. Louis is better with him in that position. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.